Morning. Today's daf of the Kamas Pei Vav. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is one of Zichron Ishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are beginning today on the very bottom of Peihemad Beis. Sorry, on the very bottom of Peihemad Aleph. That was wishful thinking. We are continuing the discussion. The eighth parak of Chavala. Man injures another man. This halacha is not specific to men, but a man injures another man, so that's chavala, it's an issur in the Torah. In addition to being issur in the Torah, you also have to make tashlum, you have to make remuneration. You damage somebody, so you have to pay. And the Mishnah introduces to the idea that you have to pay five different types of payments. You have to pay the nezek, which is the depreciated value of the person, plus the shevis, the worker's compensation, and due to the fact that he can't work, you have to pay repo, you have to pay the medical bill. Boshas, you have to pay for the embarrassment that he suffered as a result of the damage, and the tzar, you have to pay for the pain. What we did in yesterday's Gemara, we're going to continue to do in today's Gemara, is we're going to be discussing each one of these payments in and of themselves. The most unique of the payments is Boshas. We're going to talk more about that later this morning, in terms of trying to understand and ascertain how exactly we're going to assess Boshas. And we'll see that Boshas has a unique halakha that the other four payments don't have. We'll talk about that later this morning. But right now, we're just talking about isolating each one of these. And we are in the bottom of the Amud, the very bottom of Pehemud Aleph. So, Tana. Last line in the Amud. Vekula Mishlamim B'makum Nezek. So they're all going to be paid in addition to Nezek. Meaning, don't think that just because you're paying Nezek, the actual depreciated value, so don't think that you are going to be exempt from having to pay the other payments. The Bryce is telling us that's not true. You're going to be paying Nezek, and in addition to paying Nezek, you're also going to be paying these other payments as well. Menani Mili. The Gemara says, and where do we know this from? Amar Zvid Mishmed, Rav Amar Kra Petza, Tachas Patsa. So the Torah says that you're going to be paying a Petza. Petza is the damage. Four in replacement of Petza. Litain Sarba Makum Nezek. Now what we're learning of, what we're generating from this Pasuk is that the additional word Tachas is coming to teach us that in addition to paying Nezek, you're also going to be paying Tsar as well. So the Gemara says, Haimi Baile, what do you mean? I already have a need for this Drasha. L'Rabba Shogi Kamezev Ones Karatzon. The Gemara says that. Going all the way back to what we learned earlier in the Masechta, you're going to have to pay for the damages, whether you were intentionally looking to hurt somebody, or even if you weren't intentional. And this we learned out from the psukim of Petza Tachas Petza. So, Imke Nichta Kra Petza Bi Petza, my Petza Tachas Petza, Shema Minatarti. So the Gemara says, okay, but if the Torah just wanted to say Petza, if the Torah just wanted to generate the halacha of Shogeg, the Torah could have just simply said Petza, Bi Petza. The word Tachas is totally superfluous, coming to teach us another halacha as well, notably that you're going to be paying Tsar in addition to Nezek. We're going to do this for all four. You're going to be paying the medical bill in addition to the nezek as well. The Gemara says, wait one second. Remember what we learned yesterday? We need the pasuk to teach us a halacha that a doctor is licensed. Licensed meaning the Torah grants license to doctors to practice medicine. And don't think, like we discussed yesterday, that because Baruch Hu gave you the illness, therefore I'll look for God for my healing. So yes, you should look for God for your healing. We in Shemona Esrei, there's a bracha dedicated to looking for God for our healing. But in terms of living on this earth, so there are doctors. Then doctors are given license to practice medicine. And this we learn out from the pasuk Rapo Yerape. So I already know this halacha from the pasuk. How can I generate another halacha? Imke Nechto Kra Virofe Yerape. If the entire intent of the Torah is just to give the doctors license to practice, the Torah would have said Viro. So we have Virapo Yirape. So we're learning out another halacha. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, well, maybe the reason why the Torah repeats Rapo Yirape is what we learned in yesterday's daf, in that you're going to have to pay the medical bill, and if there's a complication that comes about, and now you're going basically to round two of therapy and round three of therapy, you're going to continually pay the medical bill as long as it's a result of the original damage that was done to the person. And that we learn from the repetition of the word Rapo Yirape. Imkein Lemakra. Oh, rapo, rapo, oh, you're rapé. So the Gemara says, again, the Torah could have done that by just simply either repeating the word rapo or repeating the word yirapé. My virapo yirapé. The fact that the Torah went unevenly with virapo to yirapé. Shema minah, liten refu, ba makum nezek. So we're going to to learn another halacha from there as well. In that, you're going to pay the medical bill in addition to nezik as well. So the Gemara says, okay, so now what we have proven is that the medical bill is paid in addition to Nezek, and the Tsar is paid in addition to Nezek. The Gemara doesn't go through Shevis. I guess the basic idea is that Shevis is also understood to be paid in addition to Nezek, and Boshes we're going to get to later on as well. Anyway, the Gemara says, is it possible that we could really isolate all these payments in of themselves? Meaning, how could it be that there are going to be the Tsar without Nezek? How could it be that there's going to be ripui without nezek, etc., etc.? So the Gemara is going to illustrate examples in which we can have each one of these payments isolated. So the Gemara says, "Heich mishkach lu tsar." So the Gemara says, so let's start off with pain. How can there be an injury where there's pain but no actual injury? So the Gemara says, "Kedikani tsar kavo b'shbono b'mismar afilatzi parno makom sheino ose chabura." So the Gemara says, fine, but we already did that already. That actually takes us back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about basically sticking a nail underneath a person's fingernail, extraordinarily painful, doesn't leave a permanent mark. So basically torture. In other words, so that's a situation where you could have tsar and there's not going to be nezek. Fine. And obviously under such circumstances, you're going to be paying the tsar, you're not going to be paying the nezek. Ripui, dahava kaivle midi. So the Gemara says, how can there be a medical bill if you don't damage the person, you don't injure the person? So the Gemara says, it goes like this, so let's say a person had a particular pain, vesalik, and he goes up, meaning he goes visits the doctor, and the doctor gives him very strong medicine, and it whitens his skin. So in other words, there's a terrible side effect to the medicine that was given, and it whitens his skin. Where now, so here you have a damage done by the doctor through a side effect of the medicine. Let's assume that we knew about this side effect. Oh, either way, so we have now a side effect created by the medicine. So under those circumstances, now there's going to be no injury, but nevertheless, there's going to be a medical bill attached to this damage, and it's just a medical bill. Shevis dahatke beinjorna ubatle. How can there be workers' compensation and just workers' compensation to the exclusion of any other damage payments? So the Gemara says, you lock somebody in a room. You push somebody in a room. You lock him in the room. Okay, so you obviously are preventing him from working, and therefore you're going to have to pay the shevis. And finally, boshes. What's an example where it's boshes and only boshes to the exclusion of any other payments? The Gemara says, derak le bape. You spin the person's face, spinning on the person's face. So there's no injury. There's no workers' compensation. There's no medical bills. There's no pain. There's just embarrassment. So that's an example where you can have embarrassment and only embarrassment, and you're going to have to pay just the boshes. Okay. Shevis rono so ki ilu hu shomer kishuin. Okay, now in terms of workers' compensation, so the Gemara says you treat the person as if he were a cucumber watcher. That's what we saw back in the Mishnah, Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara discusses this more extensively. Shevis rono so ki ilu shomer kishuin. So the Bryce over here that the Gemara quotes says exactly what we learned back in the Mishnah. You treat him like a cucumber watcher. So the Gemara says, v'im tamar lakta midas adin. Now the Gemara says, that seems unfair. Meaning, you injured a person. He now no longer can use his hand. So the Gemara says, now, when he does finally get back to work, so what is he going to do? He'll do much more than just wash cucumbers. Ella deli davla v'shakel agra. He can draw water, meaning that even though he doesn't have the use of his hand, but he could still do some basic activities that are going to gain more earning than just a cucumber watcher. Inami azo b'shlech v'shakal agra, or he could become a courier and he can get paid for that. In other words, he could do jobs that'll be higher paying than that of a cucumber watcher. So when you're paying his workers' compensation, so why are you only going to give him the money, the earnings of a cucumber watcher when he could be earning more than that? So the Gemara says, midas adin lo lakta. So the Braisa says, it's not unfair. Why? Shekhar nasan lo deme yado u deme raglo. Because the Gemara says, because you're already paying him for the depreciation, and incorporated in the payment of the depreciation of the actual nezek is going to be the idea that you're not, it's included in this payment. You're not just paying for the market value of him going down. It's not just loss of hand, it's loss of hand, and in the payment is also the future loss of other employments as well as a result of that. So that's already included in the demeyado, and now when you're paying the workers' compensation, you're going to be treating him with a very low, you only pay him a low paying job. Okay, so if you chop somebody's hand off, so you pay him the demeyado, you pay him the value of his hand, and in terms of the workers' compensation, as if he was a cucumber watcher. Shibas raglo, if you break somebody's leg, break, by the way, we're going to talk later this morning about types of damages where he's going to recover. Right, the damages that we're speaking about right now are permanent damages. Kitas yado, you chop off his hand. So shibir es raglo, even though the literal translation is breaking the leg, but it's got to be something more than breaking the leg, meaning it's got to be broken in a way where it's irreparable. So shibir es raglo, nosin lo deme raglo, so you pay him the value of the leg. Vishevis or noso kilu shomer sapesach. So here he can't walk around, he does not have the legs to be ambulatory, but nevertheless, so he could stand up by the door. And he could be the guard at the door. You blind somebody in the eye, so you pay for the eye, and in terms of the workers' compensation, so what can he do? So you can put him by the millstone and you can grind the millstone. So that would be his job. And now if you're mecharish somebody, now literally it means making somebody deaf. Now the assumption the Gemara is making, we have to work with this assumption just to understand the Gemara. The assumption the Gemara is making is that when you make somebody cheresh, he is totally useless. He cannot do any job. Now, why should that be? I mean, in our modern day and age, it's hard to understand, right? Somebody who loses his hearing is still very effective. And now on top of that, we have ways now to really help the auditory process. But going back to the, I guess you we're not going to say really the good old days, but going back to the good old days, somebody is a cheresh, so that really takes away all functionality. Yeah, we're just going to assume that just to understand the Gemara. So the Gemara says that if you make somebody into a cheresh, so then you pay to make kulo. You pay everything, meaning that at this point in time, he has no functionality left, and you pay him everything. By Rava, Rava asked the following question. So we're going to ask now a series of questions from Rava. Number one, katas yad of loam duhu. Let's say you chop off his hand, but we didn't appraise the loss of the hand. Shibas raglo, you break his leg, v'loam duhu, and once again, we didn't appraise the loss of the leg. And sima seno, you blind him, v'loam duhu. And again, so after all these damages that one person did to another, so there was no appraisal that was done. Well, v'sof chirshu. And then after the first three attacks, then there's a fourth attack, and in the fourth attack, he was mecharish and he turned him into a deaf mute. So mahu mina mina kevin delamdu bechad umdun asagile v'yivle demekule behade adade. So the Gemara says, look. Ultimately, in the fourth attack, he made him into a cheresh. And again, just working with the assumption of the Gemara, a person's a cheresh, he has absolutely no use. And so therefore, you're paying him basically full value, meaning you're paying maximum payment. So the Gemara says, so once you're paying maximum payment, so can we just now simply say, look, obviously, the first three attacks where you damage the first three limbs, the arm, the leg, and the eye, so obviously all that's wrong. Patently wrong. We're not discussing right and wrong right now. We're just discussing the financial obligation that the Chovel has to the Nechbal. So can't we say now that since you're paying everything, so you're going to pay one lump payment, Odilma, just one second, so the Gemara says, or no, maybe you're going to be assessing it each individually. Now the Gemara says, Nafkamina. Now in terms of practical difference, because in terms of Nezek, so, again, working with the assumption that Cheresh is totally dysfunctional, he can't do anything as a Cheresh, so there's not going to be a practical difference whether we're looking at it from a component standpoint or whether we're looking at it from the totality. If the sum total of a person is going to be his total functionality, so therefore, the payment of Cheresh is going to be equal to the payment of the arm and the leg and the eye. So the Gemara says, late Sar Uboshes. So there's not going to be a practical difference in terms of paying the Nezek. The practical difference will be for the pain and for the Boshes. Meaning, if I'm paying now incrementally based on each attack, so therefore I have to assess the Sar of each attack and the Boshes of each attack. Or maybe the Chochad V'chada, Nehid the Nezek V'ripu Yisheves, the Chochad V'chada Lo Yavin Alei. Again, the Gemara says that the Nezek and the medical bill and the Sheves, so there's not going to be a difference between dividing it into its components versus putting them all together. That will be the same. But Sar Uboshes, Mias the Chochad V'chad, Yahiv the Havile Sar Uboshes. But on the other hand, when it comes to pain and when it comes to embarrassment, he suffered it not once, he suffered it four times. So do we say that since the last time he becomes a Cherish, becoming now totally dysfunctional, so it's going to be just one lump payment at the end, and basically we're going to ignore Tsar and Boshes of attacks 1, 2, and 3, or the Gemara is saying, no, we are going to still isolate each attack. Okay. The Imtim Tzalomer. So the Gemara says, or maybe now we're going to go one step further into the line of question and answer. Perhaps what we're going to say now is that, truth be told, is that you're going to pay each one in of itself. The Gemara is assuming that we're going to be paying them all in one lump payment. So again, for Nezek, for Ripui, and for Shevis, it's all going to be the same. The Nafkamin is going to be for Tsar and Boshes. For Tsar and Boshes, we're going to pay one payment at the end. And yes, it does seem a little bit unfair, to be candid and honest, that we're basically ignoring attacks 1, 2, and 3 now. But that Gemara is saying, let's assume that that's true. Amdu Huma. However, let's say after each attack, they was taking the basin and there was an appraisal that was done. The Gemara says, so maybe you can make the argument that once there was an appraisal and once there was a number, a actual figure that was assessed by Beis Din in terms of how much you owe, so at that point in time you owe. Even though in the fourth attack you rendered him a cherish, you made him totally dysfunctional in the fourth attack, but still the Beis Din appraised after each one of the attacks. Or maybe the Gemara says no, still ultimately when all said and done, you didn't reach into your pocket, you didn't pay yet, and so therefore on the fourth attack where you made him a cherish, you made him total dysfunctional, so maybe you're going to just give him one payment. Again, Nezek, Ripui, Shevis, it's not going to make a difference. For Boshes and Sar, it's going to make a difference. Then Teku, and interestingly enough, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. The Gemara does not know. Anytime you have a Teku when it comes to Mamonos, when it comes to money, so we generate with the general rules, Amosim Echaver Ola Varaya. Meaning the Gemara asked the question, the Gemara didn't answer the question on a monetary issue. So that means now that the Chovel is going to be in the driver's seat on this issue. Meaning the Chovel states to the Nechba, look, right? I apologize for all the injuries that I've done for you. Okay, I'm sure these it sounds sincere, the apology, but again, we're not focused right now on the apology. We're focused on the money. In terms of me now paying you, since the fourth attack was I rendered you a cherish and I made you totally dysfunctional, so now in terms of the other three attacks that I did, do I have to pay for the tsar and for the boshes of the other three attacks? The Gemara raised this question. The Gemara left this question unresolved, and we have a rule in Mamonos, Amotzi Mechaver Olavaraya. If you're extracting money out of me, you need to bring proof positive that I owe you the money, and the Gemara left it unresolved. So anytime you see Teku by a Mamonos issue, so the money stays by the Mukhsaf. By Rabba, four lines from the bottom. No, it's not the Knas. It's going to be whatever the basin assesses. In other words, this is an actual payment based on loss. But for the pain and for the embarrassment of the first and second and third attack, so that part is not extractable. The Gemara's assumption is, again, I'm just explaining what the Gemara's assumption is. In order to understand the Gemara's assumption is that once you make him a cherish, so the ripui that's going to be necessary to cure him from the cherish includes in it the leg and the arm and the eye. Okay, why? Again, you and I, we wouldn't see it that way, but that's what the Gemara's assuming, and that's why the Gemara views this as not a practical difference. By Rabba,
Okay. Sheves haposcheu bedamim mahu. Okay, what if it is a type of injury that you do to a person, but it's not a permanent injury, it's a temporary injury? Meaning, most of the time, a person sprains a limb, person breaks a leg, person breaks an arm, so thank God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us in a way where most of the time we're going to heal. So we're going to heal, so do I need to pay for that kind of assessment? Now, here gets interesting. First of all, in terms of Nezek, so is there a real depreciation of the person? Meaning, currently, right now, he can't work. I respect that. But did I cause an actual depreciation to his value? He's going to heal. Take a look at the Bam Tosos over here, where Tosos deals with basically this issue. Will a temporary injury on a person result in an actual depreciation? Tosos writes on the bottom, Shevet ha-poschei b'dam ha-mahu kigon, she'kal yadov v'timsa v'sof al-achzor. He hit somebody on the hand blows up, but he's going to heal. So, shomavat shifter shebechol yom v'yom ha-shi yisrapei. So, now, for sure there's going to be workers' compensation. He won't be able to work while he's healing. So the Gemara says, Tosfos says, that's fine. We understand that. However, niftechu damav. You can make an argument that his market value has gone down. Why? Shein b'nei adam b'kiyam lahaki b'yado. Im sofer lachzer v'lo yachni senu atzman b'sofek liknoso. Because now people will be tentative to buy him if he were a slave being sold on the market. People would be tentative to buy him on the market. If I can give you a really simple example that we see all the time. And again, this all, you only appreciate this if you follow sports. But when you have a player who is on the free market and he had an injury, so now you'll see that teams will be a little bit tentative and hesitant in terms of signing him on because he had an injury. And we're a little bit concerned. Well, if he had an injury in the past, well, I don't know how he's going to play out. You see that that past injuries do affect a person's market value. So Tosfos says, basically, that's what we're discussing over here. And people are going to be worried about, I don't know if he's really going to make a full recovery. And I don't know if he's going to be able to use his two hands again. And therefore, you can make the argument that his market value actually goes down. Now, if it's a kind of wound where everybody knows he's going to heal, so then, Tosfos says, we're not going to have a debate. We know then that there is no depreciation of market value, and I'm just going to be paying the medical bills and the workers' compensation. But I will not be paying the actual depreciated value because there is no depreciated value. So here, Tosfos really limits the Gemara's discussion to where I injure a person to the point where he will heal, but the common person doesn't really know how much he's going to heal, whether he's going to go back to 100%, and therefore that's going to affect his actual market value. Okay, so says Tosfos is our discussion in the Gemara. Let's go back to the Gemara now. Let's read the Gemara inside. You hit somebody in the hand blows up, it swells, but it's gonna recover. So my kevin de sofa lachzor lo yaiv lev lo midi. So on one hand, it's gonna recover. So therefore, you don't pay him nezek odilma hashta mia paschei. Or on the other hand, right now his hand is blown up, and so therefore he depreciates in value. Now again, after having gone through Tosfos, we have a much better understanding of what the question is. The question is not whether or not something that heals is nezek. No, if something is going to heal for sure, that's not considered nezek. Nezek is only when I do permanent damage to somebody. Over here, however, we don't know. This is Tosfos' explanation. We don't know if it's permanent damage. He may or may not heal, but because of that question, so therefore his market value may in fact go down. So the Gemara now is discussing whether or not there is a Nezek payment for such an individual. Tashma.
It's so interesting because in hip cases, personal injury, I do a lot of car accidents. The insurance companies now give you a 10%, 20%, 30% of permanent damage,
right.
And they pay according to that, those
numbers. Right, right. So it's right. So grappling with these same issues. So my kevin desofa lachzor lo yaiv lev lo midi odilma hashem mia paschei. So Tashma, the Gemara says, well, consider the following: hamaka avi v'ima v'loas amem chabura. God forbid, a kid hits his parent, a mother or a father, but doesn't create a chabura, doesn't create a wound. Okay, we all know this is one of the things which I don't know, it's just not advertised. It's not public. publicized. But if a kid hits his parent, either mother or father, and causes a wound, that is a capital crime. That's a capital offense. It's a capital crime, punishable by death. If the kid does so with intention and with witnesses, and you go through the entire due process, so that child is put to death. So the so here we're discussing a scenario in which the child does hit the parent, but doesn't actually make a wound. Now, wound generally is defined as blood being extracted from the body. Okay, well, we're going to come back to that in just a moment. So, what's the halacha? Or if a person were to hit his friend on Yom Kippur, so chai b'kulan, so you're going to be obligated, you're going to be liable for all five payments. In both of these cases, because if you would have tripped off the capital offense, so then we have the rule of kim lebeder abamine. So then, since you're going to be put to death, so therefore you don't pay the financial payment. But because in the case of hitting your parent where you didn't extract blood, or in the case of Yom Kippur, where Yom Kippur is not a capital crime, by doing a malacha on Yom Kippur, then you're not going to be put to death. That's a Shabbos halacha, not a Yom Kippur halacha. So therefore, since you didn't violate a capital offense, so therefore you're going to be on the hook for financial payment. We're now on the very top of Pei Vav Amud Aleph. Now, Hai Lo Asa Chabur Hechidamin. The Gemara says, now can we delve a little bit deeper? What does it mean when it says that you didn't cause a chabura? So lavka gon shikalya dovas of alachzor. So it must be where you hit him on the hand, but he's going to recover. V'ketani chai b'kulan. And yet it says that you're obligated to pay all five payments, and obviously included in all five payments is going to be nezek. So you see over here that nezek is going to be assessed even when the damage is not permanent. So amr hacha by my skin kagon shechir shuvaloas abach chabur. So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe over here with the nature of this wound is that you were mecharish, you caused your parent to become deaf by hitting him in the ear. So the Gemara says, okay, but v'hamar rabba charish esav v'nerag lefishi efshar lecharish below chabura tipta de dama nafa le beudne. So the Gemara says, but that's based on a false assumption. The Gemara says that when you cause somebody to be deaf, it means you struck him in the ear, and there's some blood that does in fact come out over the ear. So the Gemara says, so you're wrong, meaning that can't be the case that's discussed in the Braisa, because there is an extraction of blood. Once there's an extraction of blood, now that's a capital case, and kim leba derabamineh. There's not going to be any financial payment. So the Gemara says, okay, so the case over here, we're looking for a scenario in which you're causing a permanent damage to your parent, in which now you're going to be assessed all five payments. So the Gemara says, you shaved him. So the Gemara says, shaved him, gilchum ha'da hader. Okay, you shaved him. Which parenthetically, by the way, from the perspective of the Gemara, we're going to see this a number of times this morning, shaving somebody, removing somebody here is embarrassing. Right? Both on the top and on the beard. Meaning there's a general default assumption in the Gemara that that's embarrassing. So the Gemara says, okay, it's embarrassing, but it's going to grow back. So the Gemara says, v'hainu b'ayin. And then the Gemara says, and that brings us right back to our question about temporary damage. So the Gemara says, well, the case that the Bryce is dealing with is that you put a particular cream, a chemical, on the either on the head or on the face, it permanently removes the hair. So the Gemara now goes on to explain. We're looking now to explain the Braisa, where the Braisa says that there are going to be five payments, all five payments. So it's Ardias Le Kartufne Bereshe, Vitzavche, Mehanu Kartufne. So the Gemara says, in terms of pain, so that's a chemical, and the person has a couple of cracks in his head, some open skin, and so as the chemicals now are hitting the open skin, so it hurts like anything. He's screaming out of the pain. So Ripui Dabayasui. Now, in terms of the medical bill, well, he needs medical attention. And Shevet to have a miracle be kuvah debayma machve gune areisha v'lo machve mehana kartufne. Now, in terms of workers' compensation, why are you going to be paying him the workers' comp? So the Gemara goes on to explain, because he was a performer for a living. Rashi actually describes him as being a clown. Okay, he was a performer, and now because you made him disfigured, you shaved off his head and you revealed the open skin on his head. So now basically he's no longer in shape to perform. So you're going to have to pay him for the workers' compensation. And boshes ein lecha boshes gadol mizeh. Now, in terms of embarrassment, so Gemara says it straight out. Once a person had hair and you remove the hair, so that is embarrassing. Pause. So where are we right now in the Gemara? Question. If I do not a permanent damage to somebody, but I do an injury to somebody where it's going to heal, probably. right? I say the word probably after having learned Tosfos together. It's probably going to heal. Do I pay? I for sure pay the medical, and I for sure pay the worker's comp. Do I pay nezek? Is there a nezek payment? Rabbah asks the question. Rabbah, we quoted a brisa about a kid hating his father, but the Gemara says, but that's not talking about temporary, that's talking about permanent. So we are right now in the middle of asking a question about temporary damage, temporary injury. Is there a nezek payment? Right now, Rabbah leaves the question unresolved. And the Gemara continues. Now, Rabbah asked the question. Rabbah was unsure, but Abaye was sure. Now, Abaye was sure, and Rabbah was sure. But their certainty went in two different directions. The Gemara goes on to explain. Let's say you hit somebody in the hand. His hand swells, but his hand is going to heal. Abaye says you pay the big disability and the little disability. What does that mean? Big disability and little disability. Rashi explains. Shevet Gedola means nezek. You're going to be paying the depreciated value. Now that he's walking around with a swollen hand, yes, it's going to heal, but Abaye says, okay. But right now, his market value goes down. You pay for the depreciated market value. And also, the fact of the matter is also he can't work right now. Since he can't work right now, so you pay him the amount that he would be making, earning as a cucumber watcher. And that's right. That's Abaye's opinion. So Abaye basically says, very clearly, even though it's a temporary injury, you do pay nezek. And Rav Amar, and Rava says, no, you pay him just basically workers' comp, and that's it. Meaning it's an injury that's going to heal, since it's going to heal, so there's no nezek payments for an injury that's going to heal. So we have a question of Rabba with a hey. We have an attempt to resolve his question, but he leaves it as a question. And Abaye and Rava, that Rava, these are the next generation. Abaye and Rava both have an opinion on the matter, but their opinions are at odds. Abaye says that for temporary injury, you're going to be paying nezek and shevis. And according to Rava, you're only paying shevis, you're not paying nezek. It's going to heal. Itmar. Yes.
We talked about partial nezek
and animal. Right. So the question. Let me see if I can rephrase your question. If let's say I injure an animal, but for something that's going to heal.
Right.
And are we going to be paying nezek for that? I don't know. Meaning Rava, let's assume we go like Rava, because we normally do, except for six exceptions. This is not one of them. Let's assume that we go like Rava. Rava just taught us in the Gemara that when I damage somebody else, when I damage a human, so I'm not going to be paying nezek. I'll pay the medical bills, I'll pay the disability, but I'm not there is no depreciated value. So how does that translate to the animal? I don't know. That's a great question.
That's
enough of them? Yeah, the assumption is like Rava. Okay, Itmar. Hakotei Yad Eved Ivri Shel Chavero. Let's say I go to my friend's Eved Ivri and I cut off his hand. So we're back to permanent damage. So I cause permanent damage to someone's Eved Ivri. Now remember, Eved Ivri, he doesn't own the Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri is a full-fledged Jew. But what he does own is he owns his work. In other words, the Eved Ivri is indentured servitude. The Eved Ivri has to work for the Adon. So now you've taken away the Eved Ivri's arm, but you've taken away the malacha that goes towards the owner. So Abaye says, fine. So in terms of the actual nezek, so you pay that to the Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri is a full-fledged Jew. In terms of the worker's compensation, that goes to the owner, because it's the owner now who's losing that worker's comp. Rav Amar kol yinasin la'eved v'ilakech mem karka v'harav ochel peros. Rava says, you pay all the payments to the Eved Ivri, including the worker's compensation. However, what you then do with that is that you then tie it up to real estate, and in terms of the peros, the resulting dividends from that investment, so that goes to the owner. So the owner does not lose out totally from the damage that you did to the Eved Ivri. He will get some sort of dividend, but basically the payment should be given to the Eved Ivri in total.
If it's permanent damage, right?
Yeah.
So it should be 6 years worth of damage at most to the owner, but the rest should go to Eved Ivri himself.
Right, in other words,
the one is ultimately being damaged, no?
Right, for the time that he's total. In other words, when we're talking about workers' comp, we're talking about while he's out, you're paying him that work that he could have done. And not the work that he could have done previously, the work that he can only do right now. So In other words, if he's out for, let's say, a month, you're going to pay the workers' comp for the month on what he can currently do, not what he previously could do. Pshita. Piches etzel atzma ve'etzel rabba lo piches. So the Gemara says, let's say that his only depreciation is only vis-a-vis himself, but his master is not going to be affected one bit by, on the injury. So echidami de paskal reshune or resh nechire. Let's say you cut off somebody's ear, you cut off somebody's nose. So again, you're going to be paying the damage, but in terms of his ability to work, it's not going to affect him one bit. So akol atzmo. So then everyone agrees that that goes to the injured party. Now, what if the injury is going to affect his working ability? So that goes back to the machlokes, the bayin rava that we just went over. We are now talking about busha. We're talking now about the payment of embarrassment. I'm going to give it away right now, and we're going to see this in the Gemara. As an intro to Boshas. First of all, where do we see this payment of Boshas in the Torah? We haven't seen, the Gemara has not spoken it out yet, but let's speak it out right now together. So the payment of Boshas comes from a very short parsha in the Torah, in Parshas Kiseitse, where the Torah describes two men fighting, and a wife of one of the men tries to get involved in order to break up the fight. What does she do? So the Torah describes where she grabs one of the men by in his private area, and the Torah says, you cut off her hand. Now, we're going to learn together. There's another perfect example where, don't take the Torah literally, we're not going to cut off her hand, but rather, means that we're going to assess the damage that was done in her grabbing of the man, and even though her heart was in the right place, her intention was good, she wanted to break up her fight, she wanted to defend her husband, all well and good, but damages, she caused the damage. Here, she caused a busha. And v'katzosas kapa is understood to mean, we're going to assess how much that busha was. We are going to learn together, so that's a source in the Torah of boshas. We're also going to learn together in just a moment, that boshas is unusual, is different than the other four payments. The other four payments you pay, whether the injury was intentional or unintentional, right? I cut off somebody's hand, regardless of whether or not I meant it, I didn't mean to do it, you're going to have to pay for nezek, as well as star, as well as ripu, as well as sheves. However, when it comes to boshas, the halach is, we're going to see this together, is that you only pay boshas when it was intentional. If it was unintentional, you do not pay boshas. So the payment of boshas only comes with intentional embarrassment, not unintentional embarrassment. I'll make one other point regarding boshas, one other just general point, and we'll see the Gemara inside. Boshas, even though if you embarrass somebody by ridiculing them, calling them a name, so that's terrible. It's an issur in the Torah, it's anas devarim. But there's not going to be a financial obligation. The only time you have a financial obligation is where the embarrassment comes from a physical manipulation of the person. You have to do something to the person in order to have the financial assessment of boshas. So like the Torah describes where a woman's grabbing a man, so there has to be some sort of physical action. Or like the Gemara said just a moment ago, you spit in the person's face. But if you name call or, you know, do anything that is going to embarrass the person, but verbal, not physical. So it's an issur in the Torah, it's wrong, unequivocally wrong, but there's no financial obligation. Okay, so just some general points regarding boshas. Now we are going to start the Gemara inside. We're in Peivav Amud Aleph, halfway down the Amud, at the two dots. The Mishnah gives us a simple formula. When I say simple, it's like oversimplified. A simple formula in terms of how to assess boshas. Ha'kol lefi amivayish v'amit bayish. It depends who's doing the embarrassment and who's receiving the embarrassment. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yehuda, but it's going like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we know enough to know already what just happened. With three opinions, the Mishnah didn't even mention any opinion. So we're going to see a Braisa. The Braisa is going to introduce us to three opinions, and then after having seen the three opinions, then we'll understand this comment of the Gemara. Did not. Gemara quotes a Braisa. V'kulan rono soki Elohim b'nei chorin sheyardu m'nechseim shehein b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov divra Meir. Rav Meir says that in terms of embarrassment, it is standardized. Everybody is equal as it relates to boshas. Look at the person as if he doesn't have a lot of money, but at the same time, children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, what we would call a simple Jew. But in other words, we do not stratify, we do not make any type of classification in terms of embarrassment. This is all the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaGadol Lefi Gadol HaKatan Lefi Katno. Rabbi Yehuda says, depends on whether or not you're a Gadol or a Katan. We're going to define that term in just a moment. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ashirin Rosan Ki Elohim B'nei Chorin Shiyadim Nechzeim Aniyim Kepichusin Shebahem. Rabbi Shimon says that we view the rich person as if they are Chorin Shiyadim Nechzeim, free men who are not really that particularly wealthy. And when it's a poor person, we look at them as if they are the poorest of the poor. Okay. We're going to explain Rabbi Shimon's opinion in just a moment. So we have three opinions in the Braisa. So now money. E Rabbi Meir Masis and Kataneya Kolafiam Evajmam is Bayesh, Rabbi Meir Kula Bahadehada Dininu. So look, certainly we could start off by saying Rabbi Meir is unequivocally not our Mishnah, because our Mishnah has a sliding scale, however the scale works. Our Mishnah has a sliding scale of embarrassment, and Rabbi Meir says, no, for embarrassment, everyone is treated equal. There is no sliding scale. So clearly our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Meir. That goes without saying. V Rabbi Yehuda Masis and Now, I'm going to tell you that our Mishnah is not going like Rav Yehuda. Why not? Now, Rav Yehuda is an excellent candidate for our Mishnah, because Rav Yehuda does describe some form of sliding scale. The problem is another problem. We're going to see a little bit later, maybe today, but probably tomorrow, we're going to see a little bit later that according to Rav Yehuda, in terms of Boshes, a blind person is not subject to Boshes. That's Rav Yehuda's opinion. And meanwhile, our Mishnah, meaning the next Mishnah, is going to tell us that if you embarrass a blind person, you will be subject to Boshes and the Boshes payment. So our Mishnah cannot be going like Rabbi Yehuda. So El Alav Rabbi Shimon Hi. So the Gemara says, so just process of elimination. Our Mishnah is not going like Rav Meir because Rav Meir does not have a sliding scale of embarrassment. Our Mishnah is not going like Rav Yehuda, but for an external reason, because Rav Yehuda does not believe that there's boshes for a blind person, and our Mishnah subscribes to the opinion that there is. So, just simple process of elimination. We're only left with Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says not necessarily. I feel the same Rav Yehuda. Kim Rav Yehuda so main la boshes le mishkal minei aval lemeitzvei le yavina le. So the Gemara says, well, no, maybe our Mishnah could be going like Rav Yehuda, and as far as the blind person is concerned, Rav Yehuda's position that a blind person doesn't have boshes, that means that he's not going to pay boshes if he somehow embarrasses somebody else. But if he was the subject of the embarrassment, so then you are going to pay him boshes. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that our Mishnah already is dealing, making that distinction between being the one who embarrasses or being the subject of the embarrassment regarding a sleeping person. So you see that our Mishnah is already addressing this distinction, and the Mishnah made no such comment regarding a blind person. So the Gemara says, so by a blind person, it does not matter whether he's on the giving end or on the receiving end. So the Gemara says, okay, drop it. The Gemara says, we're going to have to go back and say that our Mishnah is only going like Rabbi Shimon. By simple process of elimination, there's no other candidate. Man tanluhu detan rabbanan is kavim labayishas katan bishas agadol. No sin lagadol demei bushaso shel katan. Let's say you are intent on embarrassing somebody who is katan, somebody who's small. Again, we'll better explain this in just a moment.
In age or as
again, I'm holding back on that point because the Gemara is going to address it. And then ubiyish esagadol, your intended subject of embarrassment was the katan, and by accident you hit the gadol with the embarrassment. No, it's not the gadol. The may busha social katan. So you pay busha, but only what your intent was, and your intent was a katan. So you pay less busha. Similarly, if you intend on embarrassing an eved who is subject to embarrassment, but less, he's an eved, and by mistake your intended embarrassment went to somebody who was a free man, so you're going to pay the embarrassment, but only what you intended to do, which was to intend to embarrass an eved. So money. So the Gemara says, okay, this brisa. Can we identify who the author of the brisa is? Lo Rav Meir, v'lo Rav Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Shimon. So here the Gemara says, I think we're going to go 0-3 in terms of trying to identify. So let's start off with our assumption. The Gemara telegraphs the punch. The Gemara says the assumption is gadlon katan over here means financially wealthy, financially not wealthy. And he, Rabbi Meir, hamar kula b'hadi adadininu. Now again, Rabbi Meir does not have any sliding scale of embarrassment. Everybody's on equal footing. So over here, the Braisa is working with the assumption that somebody who's wealthy is going to be subject to more embarrassment. Now, if you are saying that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that an Eved does not have boshes. Rabbi Yehuda also just said a moment ago that a Suma doesn't have boshes, meaning Rabbi Yehuda excludes certain people from boshes altogether. Now, over here, clearly our Braisa is working with the assumption that an Eved, there is boshes, although nominal, but there is boshes. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, if I look to embarrass one person, but by accident I embarrass another person, Rabbi Shimon says there is no payment of embarrassment altogether. My time of Bekikitala, because over here we're comparing embarrassment to that of murder, and we know the famous opinion of Rabbi Shimon, let's make it famous right now, Makitala Adam is Kavan Lay Dekasavari of Love, the Kamalav, Ashi is Kavan Low, Boshes Nami, Adam Echavan Lay Dekhsivashacha Yada, Vehechazika Bim Mevushab, Ashi is Kavan Low. Just like by murder, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that if I intend to murder A, and by mistake I murder B, so I was intentional on murder, I just hit the wrong person by accident, Rabbi Shimon says, you will be exempt from the capital crime of murder. Similarly, says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon says the same thing regarding Busha. I was intent on embarrassing, it's just not him, but him. And I missed. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Shimon says that you're not going to be subject to the financial obligation of Busha. So now, it's not Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir does not have a sliding scale. It's not Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda does not believe that an Eved is subject to Boshas. And it's not Rabbi Shimon, because if I missed on the intended party, there's no payment of Busha. So we just went 0-3 in the Braisa. So La'olam Rabbi Yehuda, V'chikam Rabbi Yehuda, and Lavan Boshas, L'meis V'lei, Avalamation Shaimina Behu. So the Gemara says, so let's say that the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda, as far as an Eved is concerned, so he's not going to be... He can't pay if he's the one who gave the busha, but if he's a victim of busha, so the busha, so then there's going to be boshas. Ebi same afilo temra mer mi svarz gadol gadol nechasim katan nechasim lo gadol gadol mamish katan mamish. So the Gemara says, or we could say that the author of the brayse is Rav Meir. Here we're not talking about financial differences. We're talking about an adult versus a child. The Gemara says, "V'katan bar boshes hu." And is that true that if you embarrass a child, there's such a thing as a payment of boshes? Gemara's answer is very simply in yes, there is. Kedamer a papa demechlehu mechlam hachanami demechlam lei umechlam. So the Gemara says, sure. Sure, there's going to be embarrassment by a child. Because what's going to happen is that even though the child right now is too young to understand what he just suffered, but remind him a little bit later in life, Rashi, on the top of Pevav Amidbeis, Kishim Azkirin Laboshes, Umachlim Osoba Mitztaer. When you remind him, remember the time when, and then you went over the embarrassment that you did to him, he's going to remember and he's going to be embarrassed. So the Gemara's answer is yes. And even in that yes, we're still saying that according to Rav Meir, who does not have a sliding scale of boshes as it relates to wealth, your financial status, there will be a sliding scale in terms of age. An adult is simply subject to more boshes than that of a child. Adkan, let's quickly recap. We finished the topic today of the five payments that you pay. We isolated each one of the payments where we came up with cases in the Gemara where you can have just one of the five payments. Major discussions in the Gemara, what if it's not a permanent injury? What if it's a temporary injury? I'm for sure going to have to pay for Ripui and Shevis. Am I also going to be paying Nezek? Machlokus between the Amorim, between Abai and Rava. The Tosfos shapes the question of the Gemara. It's a temporary injury, but he probably will recover. We're just not sure. So there, it may influence and affect his market value. The discussion in the Gemara where you hit somebody's Eved Ivri, am I going to have to pay for, I'm for sure going to have to pay the damages, he's a full-fledged Jew, but in terms of the Shevis, does that Shevis go to the owner? That's also Machlokes between Abai and Rava. And finally, we finish up today with the payment of Boshes, and we noted that Boshes has exceptional differences than that of the other four payments, and the Gemara's discussion of who the author of our Mishnah is and who the author of the Braisa is.